Look, I'm fully aware of how much COVID has messed with our lives this past year. Many of us, for the first time in our lives, have felt trapped, stuck, or even helpless. Now imagine that not just being a year, but a life or a generation of being stuck. That's what happens to kids caught in the cycle of poverty. They are truly stuck. But there is good news. This doesn't have to be their story.
And that's where you come in. I'm sure you didn't wake up this morning thinking, I'm going to be a hero today, but you can. For $38 a month, just about a dollar a day, you can make sure a child living in poverty gets the things they need not only to survive, but to thrive.
You provide your sponsored child food, a better education, clean water, and medical treatment. And here's what I love about partnering with Food for the Hungry. Your gift also helps other kids in the community. So you're not just helping one child, but you're also helping their friends a little as well, because FH wants to build up the entire community.
The other really important part is you get to write to your child and encourage them. This is your faith in action, and your support and the words you share with them will carry and inspire them to accomplish more than they even dreamed possible for themselves.
With everything going on, I know it's easy just to take care of ourselves and put this off till tomorrow, but kids living in poverty, tomorrow feels like an eternity. Plus, I'm telling you that sponsoring one of our Food for the Hungry kids will not only help them, but it will also change you. There is such joy in helping innocent kids who didn't ask for or do anything to deserve this. And we've been blessed with so much in our lives. It's a blessing to be able to sponsor these amazing kids.
It only takes a minute and costs you nothing to see if this is even for you. So check it out, fh.org/Wally Show. Again, that's fh.org/Wally Show. You can also follow FH on Instagram and Twitter.
Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the things that we did not get to during the course of the show today. I'm going to dive right into the deep end here.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, not like, don't freak out, like not like a controversial thing or anything like that. No politics or anything like that today. I was looking through Relevant magazine, online. I like Relevant. Like, they have some really good faith-based content and stuff. And so there's one... article jumped out to me. It was talking about the biggest thing that relationships cannot overcome. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I'm interested in this, you know, because it's not even just like a marriage relationship, but all relationships. This is the one specific thing, the power to break years and years of love between two people, lifelong friendships, or just a random conversation for 15 minutes with a random stranger that you've never met before, but somehow end up in contact with. The one thing that can break any of these relationships is pride. And I'm like, yeah. Because I've always called it selfishness, you know, but this really works, because she goes on to say, pride is not something that you can say yes or no to. Obviously, nobody wants to be prideful. But the thing about pride is it kind of creeps into your life and into your brain and into your actions every day and on some level, you know. And so she goes, I'll go as far as to saying, I guarantee it. But the funny thing is maybe... even worse is the pride that you don't see, the one that sneaks up on you, and it's just kind of there, and it starts to manifest itself in your conversations. And so maybe to be aware of this, she's like, look at your words, like, you know, conversations with your mom. I don't need you to tell me what to do. This is my life. So it's I and my, your mistakes are not from me to learn from. It was your mistakes. I got this, you know? Cool. Yeah, pretty...
bold statements.
Yeah. If you think about this, like, too, like, even with your coworkers, you know, someone's trying to teach you something. Don't try teaching me something. I've been at this company for 7 years, longer than you. I know what I'm doing, you know? And it is. It's that pride enters into so many of our interactions. And I know I struggle with in this area for sure, especially at work, because I think that I know best. And so, you know, if somebody's trying to tell me something, we actually talked about this yesterday. If someone's trying to tell me something and I don't think that they know more than me, it's hard for me to accept and take it face value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone knows more than me, that's fine. But good luck finding that person here. Yeah, see, that's where it creeps in, and it's not pretty, is it, Rock?
Hmm.
Like with your spouse, he better come to me and apologize. I'm not taking the first step. He started the fight. And he's being totally unreasonable. So it's that projection and that pride and that almost like not victim mentality, but you're just unwilling to take any responsibility in it. It's all somebody else. And that is pride. She says when it's unconscious, it's even worse, because then it's visible to other people without us realizing it.
Yes, I would agree with that. I read a book about some of this stuff, and a big part of the issue is having the humility to come to someone and say, you know, I want to get this fixed. The relationship matters too much to me to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes a lot of humility to do that.
You think about like the way we talk or when we get into relationships, like you could look at it as like from a marriage perspective, where it starts to come off the rails and starts to break down and ends up in divorce. You know, you're like, I'm not happy. I'm not getting what I want. I need this. I need this versus looking at, all right, well, what is the other person not getting from me? You know, like what would their set of eyes be? You know, and if you can switch that perspective and try to see it from them and empathize and understand, you might actually find some of that common ground. Like I try to be better about that in my own life, about seeing something the way my wife would see it and why something's not a big deal to me, why it is a big deal to her. But you have to take your pride down and you have to intentionally try to look at it and see it from her perspective.
But I'm sure she has to do the same for you too.
Like, oh, she never does. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sure
no.
There's things that you see as a big deal that she's like, why is that a big deal?
Oh, for sure.
And then she has to have some empathy and see it from your way.
I guess one of the best sentences that for fixing relationships, though, it's ironically, it starts with I too, and it's I'm sorry. You know, like that covers a grand spectrum of ilks. Like being able to come to somebody sincerely and say I'm sorry, and not the I'm sorry you don't understand. Like that's not an apology, but like, oh man, I'm really sorry.
I'm sorry that hurt you. I'm sorry that offended you.
That hurt you, yeah. Instead of I'm sorry I hurt you, you know, and stuff. Like being able to apologize, it really does make a difference, you know. But I think that pride, like maybe even the worst cases of pride, I bet a lot of that still is built in insecurity. You know, they talk about the Bible, pride goes before a fall. But like, I think that so much pride is you don't want to look weak. You don't want to look like you don't know what you're doing. You don't want to look inept. And so your pride is the cover for the fact that, you know, you don't always know what you're doing. You are inept and you are weak sometimes. And I think that those two things go hand in hand, and trying to figure those out is difficult for people. But I thought it was a really good article. So if you want to check it out, it's at Relevant Magazine. They do some good stuff there.
Can you send me the link and I can post that to our potty group?
Oh, yeah.
In case they're interested as well.
I can do that. Okay. I'll do it when we get done with the aftercast.
Okay.
Lady Rock, what do you got?
Mine's about Star Wars.
Yes. Yay, Star Wars.
So Mark Hamill, I'm not sure what role he plays, but it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So he is actually a good person.
I'm going to try to see this from Betty's perspective, that Star Wars is not life, but it's okay. I get that she doesn't get it.
I don't accept that. The actor rarely publicizes his goodwill and generosity. Fans learn of it from personal posts. Mm. So he has used his stardom to bring some good into the world. For instance, back in 2017, we found out that a 9-year-old little boy passed away from brain cancer. And his dad posted on Twitter that this guy, Mark Hamill, was part of like a happy birthday, 9th birthday celebration video, and that he filmed his son, Elijah, watching Mark Hamill wish him a happy birthday, and then the very next day he passed.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
But that meant so much to the dad because he's losing his 9-year-old son. But, you know, Mark Hamill, I guess, is a big deal,
he
didn't have to take the time to do all of that. But there's another instance where back in the 90s, he like had a fan on the set, and he took time with him. Like he had some brain damage, but Mark Hamill took time with him, answered all of his questions, was very patient with him, and that went a really long way for the mom and the dad as well.
Yeah, I love when celebrities go that extra mile and understand the impact that their actions have. Because it's easy to catch somebody on a bad day and it's easy to behave badly, but I love when they get it right. You know, I've had a couple instances in my life, like with a Broadway star that my daughter just loved his work, And he took the time to spend time with her after one of the shows and talked to her. It was very kind. Came out when he didn't need to because he was already late for a show and did it as a favor kind of thing to us as random strangers. And then we went back like 2 years later and he remembered us, which was crazy.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, because it's not like when you talk to someone and they go, oh, yeah, I remember. And you give them all the details and they go, oh, I totally remember you. It's not the same. Like we walked back up and he looks at me and he goes, Tennessee, how are you guys doing? You're like, dang.
But does that mean he has a good memory or does that mean you had something embarrassing about you that he remembered?
Oh,
do
yeah.
you know what I'm thinking?
My
like
hair.
Maybe you had something stuck in your teeth
maybe.
And he was like, oh.
Doesn't matter though. It was a great
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I mean,
for,
at least he remembered.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I had one with Tim Tebow, did a like a little message for my
Attaboy.
Nephew. Oh, yeah, that was embarrassing. He did a message for my nephew who loves him, does his Night to Shines and his special needs and stuff. But like when I showed it to my nephew, he goes, hey, Noah. And Noah just lost it. It just starts bawling when he saw it. It was just so cool. And again, Tim's never going to remember doing that because he's on and he gets asked a million things. But that moment that they create for somebody is really, really powerful. Like he'll never remember it, but I'll never forget it. You know, it was really cool. So.
Yeah.
You got some birthdays for us?
I do. I have one.
Cool.
It's a little bit late. It's from the 19th. But Mike and Becca want to wish their son, Oliver, a happy birthday. He turned 6 years old. He loves Star Wars.
Oh, nice.
How perfect is that? And Legos and his caring brother and son.
Well,
happy birthday, Oliver.
I wish I had Mark Hamill here to wish him happy birthday.
You can do an impression of him
I
as
can't.
Luke Skywalker.
No.
Yeah, he's not like a crazy distinct voice or anything, but he's done some
voice. You have
voice.
To make it nasally and whiny. Yeah. You have to whine.
Yeah. Because what he is now is not really...
Master Yoda!
Yeah,
he's kind of like,
it's weird.
Yeah. We have a question from Lindsay. It is there anything specific you wanted to accomplish by the time you were 40?
Oh, wow.
So that would be for us.
Yeah, you still got time.
I got 4 more years.
Yeah.
Gavin has 14 more years. You've passed it.
Yeah.
Was there something you wanted to accomplish at 40?
In my radio career, I wanted to be in a top 10 market by the time I was 30. And so I did that. Like I got to market 8 and then syndicated. I was in, a bunch of like number 1, 5, 6 and then stuff like that. So that was like a big deal. But I think it's weird. Like I don't set a lot of goals. Like a lot of people set goals. That was one of them. I was never that person. It's like, okay, I had the 10-year plan. I want to be married by 20. I want to be this by that. Like I've never had those plans. I kind of like get in the middle of something and then I'm working on like what the next thing is, but it's usually not like way down the road kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that was something I accomplished. I was proud of that because I had to work hard to get to that and to beat my goal. It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Rod?
I would like to at least have gotten started on seeing more of the world.
Mm.
And by that, I mean the U.S. Like, I'm not saying, like, above and...
this
like,
world.
Yeah. And I wouldn't mind going to England.
Yeah.
I would love to see that, or Iceland. But I would... My dream is to, like, have a camper van and just go traveling around all the national parks and, like, seeing all of it.
Just get a GoPro camera and go document it,
there's
a
podcast. So many, like, roadside... attractions that I want to see. I saw one the other day that was you could go and pet gophers.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Right?
Yeah, I like
that. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. Just don't get murdered in a national park.
I know. We covered that today in the podcast.
We covered that in the podcast. Yeah, I don't know if we covered that homicide was the actually least way to die in
that's
a national
good to
park.
Know.
That was
great.
Good. The number one way, number two way, drowning was number one. But one of the other ones we didn't talk about was ironically car crashes. Is the number two cause of death.
Me.
Well, because in a lot of national parks that I've been into, the roads in which... you're taking a lot of roads that do wind as you're going through these. And if you're going to a mountainous one, then you're going up these like hills that are dangerous. And then a lot of them do have like narrow roads that you have like two lanes of traffic that are trying to get in and out. I've just like seen that. So like I've never seen an accident, but like knowing that it makes sense.
And some knucklehead tries to pass or a motorcycle or
they're
something. But
look at your phone for a split second and then whoo.
I was really surprised that was like the number two way to expire yourself in a national park.
Gavin, what's yours?
I guess, like, in a sense, I want, but by the time I'm 40, I would like to be a dad.
I would hope so by 40.
I know. I think in
hopefully by 40 you've got like a 10-year-old. Exactly. At least, you know?
So to be a dad, but to be, by at that point I want to be like, oh, like a great husband, a great dad, and still just like doing a good job at work. I don't know. I don't really have goals to go that way.
I have no goals.
I feel like I'm just like.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I'm still learning how to be an adult at this point, to be honest.
Well, and also you just want to, I mean, I think some of us, our goal is just to be happy and to be fulfilled. It doesn't really settle on a thing that the world provides. I know a big thing for me is just making sure I have good relationships.
Mm-hmm. Gavin, this morning, because he moved into his new place yesterday, and he was like, I rented and returned a U-Haul. I kind of feel like an adult.
Driving that thing was
a big deal.
It was not fun to drive that thing. Yeah. It sounded like it was going to die the whole time I was going, and I had the hardest time getting up ramps. My friend was driving behind me, and he was like, "Well, you just turn your turn signal on, and then I'll get over and give you space." I'm like, that's brilliant.
That's how you're supposed to drive, in tandem with somebody, especially if you've got a vehicle like that. Yeah, the person behind is, in essence, your blocker, even though they're behind you. Yeah.
You know when you pass those trucks on the interstate that said wide load, and then they have the trucks before and after them? That's what they do.
Yeah.
Like the little partners.
Yeah. Pilot trucks and stuff like that. Yeah, it's so important. But it is. It's funny because you're experiencing things that I experienced 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like, but in thinking back to it, I remember like my first place, and I remember the first time I rented a U-Haul, and I felt like an adult, and I was getting myself somewhere and situated and stuff like that. I totally remember all of that stuff. So completely valid.
Oh, yeah.
Completely
valid.
It's all
fun. Gavin.
Welcome to adult life.
Thanks, guys. Let's hope goes uphill.
That's right. All right. Well, that's going to do it for your not least of these. It's our aftercast.
Yes, but I just want to give a one-day-out warning is that Wally is taking off, taking some vacation time.
Yes.
Good for you. Thursday and Friday. So there will not be an aftercast or a podcast coming up Thursday and Friday.
Yep. I'm getting out of town for my anniversary. 29 years.
Wow.
29 years.
A long time.
I have been married. And I know people are like,
how does she do it? That's what I wonder.
Yeah, I know. I'm an angel. I'm really great, actually, to be at home with.
I just covered the whole pride thing earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
But sure.
Yeah, I'm not that hard. Like, Marty will be the first one to tell you, because people are like, she'll be like, oh, they'll kid around and go, oh, you poor lady and stuff like that. She's like, it's really easy. Like, we've had, by and large, an easy marriage. Sure, we have certain things, and there's still those things that we're on different pages on here and there and stuff. But by and large, it's actually not been a difficult marriage. It's been pretty easy and fun. And like, I look back at the fact that I go, 30 years almost. Like, that is a lot. So we've been together 33 years, like, because we dated for like 4 years. Like, we've been together for over 30 years. It's just amazing, like, with that one person. And I know she's probably sick of it, but I'm lucky.
No.
So we're going to go do something fun over in Knoxville and get away for a couple days, which is nice.
That'll be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. All right, well, that's going to do it for your aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty.